Well, it's
the 4th week of November. So guess what the topic is?
Thanksgiving.
Huh?
Gratitude.
Right, yeah. All you 12-steppers are probably like, oh, God, gratitude. You know, every meeting I go to is gratitude, you know. But it, you know, it's really, it's appropriate for us to pause, and it's a great practice. It certainly is something that contributes a good deal to joy in our lives, if we can develop an easeful relationship with gratitude. And so I'd like to talk a little about it tonight. Do you all know what I mean when I talk about all the Buddhist lists? You know, there's the Brahma Viharas and the Noble Truths and the 7 stages of enlightenment and the paramis and the, you know, list after list after list. And gratitude isn't on a single one of them. And I've kind of known this for years. I thought, oh, it's really strange that gratitude isn't on any of the lists. But I decided the other night that I'd really make a little bit of a project of it, because I knew this was coming up, and here we were in the 4th week. So I started thinking about how in the world could the Buddha have left this off the list? You know, his teachings about generosity, he says repeatedly, generosity is the number one thing that I'm teaching about. You know, everything's about generosity, and what's the immediate, hopefully, actually not always, but the hoped for response to generosity is certainly gratitude, and where is that? It's not like Thailand, or excuse me, India 2,500 years ago was, you know, all the humans were different. Generosity was certainly a thing that came up then, and certainly something that he would have been teaching about. So I decided to think about how that might be true in the teachings. Imagine for a moment, you've all had it at one time or another, that lovely afterglow of you've just received some lovely thing, and you're actually feeling very open-hearted about it. Just pause for a second, close your eyes if you like, and just kind of recreate that feeling. You may notice that it totally supplants greed. Greed is just gone from your thought or from your existence in the moment when you're in the place of gratitude. And it's one of the reasons that having an attitude of gratitude, if you will, can contribute so much to happiness, because the pain and difficulty of greed is gone. Does anyone have a few words that they'd like to offer, some adjectives about the feeling tone of gratitude?
Spacious.
Spacious? Uh-huh. Is there an element of happiness there? Yes?
Of joy.
Joy? Uh-huh, yeah. Any other thought?
Helping.
Excuse me?
Helping,
uh-huh, yeah. So mutual sharing, mutual kind of camaraderie in gratitude.
Gracious.
Yeah. Being gracious, absolutely. Probably comes from the same root, whatever it would be in some old language. I would suspect, and as I did my detective work, I came to believe that we've had a couple of words, joy and a sense of collegiality and various versions of the word appreciative and happy. And I think this is really close to one of the Brahma Viharas, which is mudita, which is sympathetic joy or appreciative joy is another way of talking about that. We often think about mudita or empathetic joy or sympathetic joy as being only in response to the happiness of another. But if any of you have ever done what are called the Brahma Vihara practices, where you practice one of these Brahma Viharas, they're the refuges of the gods, or the dwelling places of the gods, or the translation of Brahma Vihara, and it's these supreme states that advanced beings rest in. And being happy for another is often the way we think about mudita, or empathetic joy. But let's use the word appreciative as opposed to empathetic. Because when you do these Brahma Vihara practices, the way you do them is first you give this gift of this feeling to yourself, then you give it to a neutral person. These are kind of developmental practices. Then you give it to a friend or someone that's really easy to give it to because they've been kind to you, then to a neutral person, then to a difficult person or an enemy, and then to all beings. And that's thought to be a progressively more difficult thing to do. But what we find is that the end result on all of these Brahma-viharas is all beings. And it's a little silly of us to think that appreciative joy or mudita excludes oneself. Because in fact, all beings, the Buddha teaches all the time that all beings includes oneself equally with others. There are many quotes in the scriptures about that thought that we are included with all beings. And so if you think about appreciative joy, you're happy, oh, and I'm happy. Or think about, for instance, playing peekaboo with a little baby. And the baby kind of sees all of a sudden, and there's this joyous expression that occurs, and all of a sudden you're happy too. That is like a perfect mudita moment. But you're not really just happy for the baby. In some way, you're actually joyous at the arising of this joy in the universe, and it brings up happiness that is in you. It's not just reflective of the child's joy. So I think this is really what gratitude is. It's a supreme arising of happiness at the thought that generosity or mutual good fortune arises in the world. And I must say, it's certainly nice to think that the Buddha didn't leave it off the list. So finding a way to work it into these lists, now every time I see mudita, it's going to include gratitude, and I'm going to feel much better about it, than thinking, oh, I'm so bad at being happy from someone else's good fortune because I'm jealous all the time. And if you think about mudita, many of you have maybe different relationships to it. I must say, in my life, the arising of empathetic joy or appreciative joy has actually been kind of slow in coming. I've been practicing for like 13 years or something like that, and only in the last couple of years has more and more have I noticed that somebody else's good fortune actually arises happiness in me. And where I had been before that was I often experienced greed for whatever it is that they got that I thought I didn't, because I was making a me and a them as separate beings, very separate, and they were the one with it and I was the one without it. Another thing that might come up is someone gave me something, a gift, either a material or an emotional gift. And I was a little worried about that there might be strings attached. And those strings might later be used to bind me in some way that would make me uncomfortable. And I think you can all probably know or think about people in your lives who really aren't very good at feeling appreciative, because maybe they're trapped by those things. Maybe you can see it in your own life. Maybe part of the solution is we should all play peekaboo with babies more often and have that lovely feeling arise. Another couple things that I'd like to observe about appreciative joy is that you can really kind of look at its arising from all sorts of different angles. Yesterday I pulled out, Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Are you guys familiar with this? It's this triangle of things that you start in your life. Humans, Maslow was a psychologist or something, and he speculated that all humans start with their survival needs, and that they really can't, until they've got their survival needs met, they can't deal with the next thing up on the pyramid. And he speculated that that was to be safe and comfortable. So, okay, once I've got my survival needs met, I can seek safety and comfort. Okay, so now I've got safety and comfort. Then I can begin to meet my psychological and my emotional needs. But this kind of actually has a sense to it. You know, if in fact you are running from a tiger in the woods, you're not going to be doing anything except running from a tiger in the woods. Maybe that's a safety need. But in any case, you're not going to be thinking how upset you are with yourself that you got angry at your partner the night before and dealing with your psychological needs. So there's a thing to this. And one of the things I think that's true is it's really the further we get up Maslow's pyramid, the more likely we are to be able to experience happiness and gratitude for our circumstances. And part of this, I must admit, baffles me just a little, but that part of that comes from the fact that we see other people around us who are not as fortunate. So inherent in this a little is some way realizing our own circumstance is a fortunate one. And often that actually comes from seeing less fortunate circumstances around us. What's that German word? Schadenfreude, where you take happiness at other people's misfortune. I'm not talking about that extent, but simply where you do actually have to be able to judge your luckiness or your good fortune by its differentiating from other circumstances. So that's almost a little bit of an unfortunate part about it. But it seems to be one of the things that's true about gratitude. One of the other things that happened to me on my first meditation retreat, Sharon Salzberg, a very well-known meditation teacher, she's often thought of as a gratitude teacher because she teaches metta a lot. My first meditation retreat happened to be a metta retreat where we did metta practices for 10 days. And I was very new to Buddhism, and Sharon told this story about the cosmos and our place in it, the people sitting in that room in that retreat that night. And it went something like, of all of the various birds in the Buddhist cosmology, if you will, we can be reborn again and again as different things. So of all the various birth possibilities, if you start from the beginning of time until now, think about all the different insects and dinosaurs and worms and bacteria and various things that are conceivable for an entity to be. The fact that we are a human birth is an extraordinarily rare, I mean, almost unmeasurably rare occurrence. If you think about all the humans in all time on this earth for the however many years we've been here, the thought that you could be born many, many different times as a human, the thought that you could actually be born into a time where the teachings of the Buddha were available to us, because for most of the expanse of humanity, that wouldn't have been true. To think then beyond that we're a human being that is born into the time when the Buddhas or teachings are available, and we were born into a place where they are available. That also is really quite the minority of the world, if you think about it. Although Buddhism isn't so huge in China, but maybe things are changing. Certainly they're coming west and that's changing. But still, definitely a minority. And then that we were born into a body that allows us to help to be able to have a living where we can actually get around and discover the teachings is astounding. And this, of course, this pyramid of good fortune goes to the point where we could have the financial security to pursue the teachings rather than running from tigers all the time or having to work the fields so hard or having to work 16-hour days or something like that. And then to go on from there, in that particular case, to sit in a retreat where we actually had 10 days to do meditation practice. An incomparable gift. And as she told this story, as each succeeding wave of rarity was presented, I just got more and more grateful for the amazing good circumstance that I found myself in. And I offer to you tonight the thought that that all of us enjoy that kind of good fortune in this world, And if we translate that retreat evening to just sitting here in this class tonight, we can know that Jorge or Rafael did the fast tonight for us. Shauna has handled the money in this group for over 2 years, a lot of incredible service. I took the time to make a talk for us to consider tonight. Max helps Sue with the scheduling and keeps the web page and keeps this group going. Both of them doing it for year upon year. All of these are small little elements which make this moment a possible one. And any one of them could have not happened and made this moment less likely. Many of you here have been attending this group and bringing your care and creating the field in which we can all sit for many years and welcoming newcomers and telling a friend about it. You all must have heard of this evening from someone, and your good fortune is founded by that someone's good wishes for you in telling you. So for a moment, let me just look around at each other. Go ahead and look around at the room and appreciate the role that each of us has played in supporting the practice, supporting the teachers, doing our part to be here and to bring a welcoming atmosphere. All of that is part of our good fortune. And as we head into this week where this culture has a tradition of being grateful for the bounty that we enjoy, and my goodness, it's unarguable the bounty that this culture enjoys in this earth. I'd like you all to know that it's firmly rooted in the Buddhist teaching of mudita, and you're totally free to enjoy it and mix it up with the squash and the corn and the whatever else it is you're having for your feast. So thank you very much, and I hope you have a lovely holiday.